share with you a little bit of a message that is going to build on this concept of what God is cultivating in us. We've gone through all kinds of things, and to sum it all up in just one word, it's His likeness. God is cultivating His likeness in us, isn't He? And I don't know where you're at in that process right now, if it's happy, if it's painful, if it's good, if it's all pleasant or what. But regardless, hey, we know this. He's got something good in store for you. It's not to hurt you, even if it hurts. It's to do good in you and to bring out what He's wanting in you. Well, today we get to a section of focusing on what we should cultivate. And how do I want to say this? It's Okay, so what I'm illustrating here quite dorkishly is the fact if I'm not intelligent in the way that I form the words that I'm using even today, there'd be no benefit for you here in the audience, right? So what I'm talking about today is all about the metrics of communicating well, cultivating good communication. It starts in this relationship we have with the Lord. And I couldn't get away with some of the first bases. In the first bases, if it's not intelligent, it's not going to click at all, period. You probably need some scripture references just to say, are you just talking from human mindsets or what? Let me just reference it so I can get to the meat of the message today. When Jesus was giving His parables, do you recall in the Gospels how when He gave the parables that some people in the crowds couldn't quite get the parables, even though He was speaking a language they could understand? The reason they couldn't get it, and the reason He even said, I'm speaking, but you don't understand, it's because to them, they weren't born again. The Spirit of God wasn't moving in them, so it was a whole nother language. Just like if Pastor Ben stood here this morning and spoke an entire message in gobbledygook. And you'd all go, whatever. Sad reality is 80% of what I do say today you will think is based on statistics. And so it's like the reality for Jesus was unless that born-again nature was in you, you were a foreigner to even the language He was using. And so there's a lot of things that go into understanding and communicating clearly. And if you remember back in the Old Testament, the Tower of Babel is this wonderful story where everyone on the planet spoke in a common language and they were common and united against even God's desires. And part of the judgment was He confused them. That was the judgment. I still know that in this earth and in this world, there is great confusion. And unless the Holy Spirit brings unity, it doesn't matter what we speak in whatever language we call our native tongue. It will still not connect one to another, let alone just between you and the one who made you. I think we've got to learn how to listen and be heard, understand, how to speak in a way that people can connect. All of these things are very, very important. So turn to John chapter 10. And if I were to give you one chunk of scripture to sum up my emphasis on what we're cultivating, it would have to be found in John chapter 10. The key verse that I would highlight would be specifically verse 27. I'm almost there. You guys are faster than me. And verse 27. Hey, Bill, will you turn on the spinny lights for me? Thanks, man. Wow. you know, if we don't make that a habit of doing that from time to time, you'll see me purchase glasses with the lights on them. That would get really irritating preaching at you, because every time I'd look up, you'd be like, oh! So, but I might do that. Verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I'm going to read that again in the New King James. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There's so much in that. I'm loving that. This is Jesus in the Gospels talking and training everyone around. There are some who will never be able to communicate with me, and there's others that are going to communicate clearly with me. And that's still going on today. There are many people, and I'm not saying that just because we're in church, we're communicating. Thank you, Bill. Yeah, you can be in church and you're still not getting anything. And from God or from anybody else. It doesn't mean the message is bad. It just means it ain't getting through. Okay, that just flipped me to another moment. McFly. Or Bueller, or any of those things like that. Any of that. It just doesn't get through. But my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. That's profound. If I go back to the first little section there, still in chapter 10, verse 1, it says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold, by the door, but climbs up some other way, that guy's the thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, and to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. Up until there, I'm going to stop it just for a second. He's defining that he is the shepherd. And he goes, all right, guys, there's a lot of other people that look and smell or maybe act like shepherds, but they're sneaking in. But I walk right through the front door because I own the place. That's my paraphrase. And anyone who has the Spirit of the living God working in their lives and are sensitive, they will recognize my voice's familiar tone. He also goes on and he says, hear this other thing, in starting at verse 4. And, verse 5. We'll say there. To him the door opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And they will by no means follow a stranger. You could almost say a stranger's voice. Instead, they're going to flee from him because they do not know the voice of that stranger. Ha! I love that. And that is something that I would say would be the ideal for us. To look at John chapter 10 and say, let's cultivate such awareness of God's voice that there is never a doubt that we would have maybe confusion with whose voice we're listening to. I know statistically that one of the biggest questions in a professing Christian's mouth is, if they were to say this, is, I don't know what God's will is for me. And they may not say it in those exact words, but they'll ask questions. Well, I don't know if God wants me to do this or this. Well, I'm unsure about what God would say about this for me or the future. It is amazing to me still that we can be his sheep, but in the nuances of the ups and downs of our life, we're still uncertain with his voice. Does that alarm anyone? And so even in a service where the word of the Lord would inspire someone to say, I'm speaking and I love you and I'm here and you should hear my voice. It goes in one ear and out the other. It does nothing to push the pendulum any direction towards confidence in hearing God's voice. It's not moved the needle at all. We're getting real close then, from what I think, that then talking is no longer working. So then talking stops. And so my fear is that, boy, are we going to cultivate a good listening ear to God? I think that's what it boils down to. one of my favorite guys, and I look up to their ministry and the patterns that they do, Gateway Church there in Dallas. And Robert Morris writes a book that's entitled Frequency, Tuning in Hearing God. But he's not alone. It seems like any good author that's accepted in Christian circles that's, you know, sound doctrinally, they're going to touch on that topic at some point. Listening to God, hearing God's voice, being led by the Spirit of the Lord, all those things. And a lot of the stuff that we preach here at Visible Church, it's to cultivate confidence in knowing what you're supposed to do. To put to bed those uncertainties that stir us up, and we commit, but then we quit because we're uncertain. I want to just stop that in our lives. Put your hand to the plow, cultivate faithfulness, and don't stop. Who cares what the voice says? As God's sheep, we should hear his voice and not follow a strange voice. I just believe that there are so many voices in our day and age. It just is. So, Paige, can I have you help me just briefly? All you need to do is stand up here and look cute. Can you do that? You bet. Come here. All right. And then, Hot Stuff, can you come help me too? I was looking right at Travis when I said it. So, and he had no problem jumping up. So, okay, Hot Stuff and Petraeo, would you both come up? Come on, I need multiple people. So, and then I was going to pick on Steve too. So Steve, come on up here. And so here, I'm going to step you just right here. And Hot Stuff, you stand on that side. Petraeo right here. And Steve right over here. And okay, so now all of you guys, you like sports, right? So I want you to just talk without stopping, hardly taking a breath, as loud as you can at her about anything Packer related, you know, pro, con, be cynical, because I like that. And and Petraeo, I want you to back here, just right in the back of the head, like you're trying to get it through the skull into the head. Give her instructions on how to do any kind of dancey thing, okay? Just really let her. Steve, just make something up. And do it loudly, right in at her. Ready? And do this until I say stop, okay? All right? And now until I say stop. Now, and all I want you to do is I want you to focus on my voice, but you're going to close your eyes because I don't want you to use your other senses. I just want you to use your hearers. That's not a thing. Yeah, and I'll try and use my words. So, all right, so close your eyes. There you go. And now, lady and gentlemen, your mark, get set, go. Oh,
okay, so really loud. The Packers have won the ball, Mark. Right away out of the game. They would hold on to possession, get more first downs, keep the Chargers off the field. Instead, you know what they do? They sit there, punch.
Stop. Okay, what did I say?
After service. That's what I heard.
Is that all you heard? And stop? Oh, my gosh. Okay, here's the problem. The fact that you didn't hear it probably means that you're not even hoping or expecting to what I just told you. I told her after service, I've set aside 20 whole dollars so that her and I could go on a cool date where we can eat ice cream until our eyes gorge and that kind of stuff. And I said, so it's just you and me, nobody else, because I don't like anyone else, just you. And then I said, stop. You didn't hear any of that?
I was right, though, right?
Did you hear what Steve said?
Yeah. Kind of.
Yeah. Kind of?
Did
And did you hear anything that mom said? You heard nothing? You tuned out mom completely? Did you hear anything that the sports expert said? You couldn't understand anything? Well, thank you. All of you helped me illustrate. Go ahead and sit down. Thank you very much. See, that's the problem. This is why I have to preach a message like this, and the Lord is just stirring me up saying, we must cultivate good communication skills with the Lord.
The problem isn't that you hear Pastor Ben. I'm just a mouthpiece. You got to hear the wind of the Spirit that speaks through the mouthpiece, any mouthpiece of God. You got to hear what the Spirit speaks through the Word of God, through the worship of God's people, through the times and seasons and the flows of the Holy Spirit, all of that. But if we can't hear it, if we can't tune into it, His voice is still and small and sweet and wonderful. But because of the myriad of voices in our lives, we very seldom hear it. So no wonder that we doubt. And no wonder that we struggle with things. Because it's from Him that we get all those important nuggets that make us strong. It's by His words we live. I wouldn't know who I am unless it was through the voice of God speaking to me. And if I don't know who I am, then I'm very insecure and I'm messed up and I'm following anybody's identity that they're trying to give me. And that turns out horrible. And if it's not that, then I have my own plans for my life and I think I'm right. But the Bible has told me clearly, I have a way and a path in me that seems right. But at the end, it could be messed up. But if I don't ever hear God's voice, then I'm following just my own inner voice. And a lot of people today have the final say by just summing up whatever. It's like, well, that's true for you, but it's not true for me. They're following their own voice. We're just like back in the time of the judges. Everyone does what's right by their own voice. So the real problem is, how do we cultivate that good communication with the Lord? We say over and over again some of the basics, don't we? You gotta stick it with church. You gotta stick with church. You gotta stick with good people in your life, and those things take hard work. You know, you gotta spend time in the Word. You have to spend time in prayer. You have to spend time in worship and all of that. But you know, very honestly, people have been saying that for a long time, and most of us, it has turned into a cliche. If you come to Pastor Ben's office and say, here's the problems I got and everything, and you go on, and then it's my turn to talk, and I say, well, I got a couple of things I'd like to say. He says, I know what you're going to say, Pastor Ben. What am I going to say? You're going to say I need to pray about it more and spend time in the Word, and what does the Bible say about it, and all this stuff. And I'm going to say, yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. That's awesome. Why do you pay me? So it's funny. But that's what preachers will say. And we all tend to go, I know. So what I am not going to do is say, you just need to spend more time in the Word, more time in prayer, more time in worship, because you don't listen to that anyway. Neither do I. We don't. We've heard it too much. It's just... So then what am I going to talk about today for the next 4 hours? Okay, only 20 minutes. In Jesus' name. I'm going to talk about how we do what the Bible would give us as the rules for good listening. They apply first and foremost to our relationship with God, but I am very much convinced that this applies to even our earthly relationships. And if you listen closely, you may find that hidden in Scripture, in the principles of Scripture, is more wisdom that would fix the broken junk in your relationships than you could ever pay for in a million counseling sessions. And it's not me, it's the Bible. But me just telling you, read it, most of us never spend the time and get the nuggets out. We look at the river and think it's just going to spit gold out to us. You got to get in there and pan and work and do it day in and day out. And then the nuggets of good stuff really get seen. And so I am going to give you what I would say are the biblical principles for good listening. I'm not starting with good just talking, because most of us just need to shut up and listen better, especially to God. And so here's how it starts. Proverbs 12, verse 15. Let's quickly flip over there, and I'm going to give you five little principled tools for listening. If you're God's sheep, you're doing this whether you realize it or not. The question is, how good are you doing it? So in Proverbs chapter 12, it says, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Now, don't forget where we started in John 10 and the audience that Jesus was talking to, because he could just as well be talking to us. Part of the problem, it was subtle, but it was permeating the entire culture and environment, and it's why he had to say what he said. Sheep that can't hear his voice, which are really just goats, if you follow the metaphors in that New Testament, just the goats out there that headbutt God every chance they get, their real problem is summed up there in chapter 12, verse 15 of Proverbs. They are right in their own eyes. Their voice is the most important voice in their life. Their perspective is the most important perspective in their life. The issue is pride. The issue is self-centeredness. You could say it in many different ways, but the Bible says that it's a fool. It is a fool's way of living, thinking they are the smartest one in the room. Their opinion is the best opinion, and all that kind of stuff. And if you apply this to you in the Lord, it when you go to the Bible, you never hear what God is saying. If you go to the Bible telling God before you even start listening what it is you want to hear. I just preached a big something just then, and either you were so impressed, you were like, or it went, most of us will never hear anything from the Bible, because when we go to the Bible, we already know what we want to hear from the Bible. That scumbag of a husband that I've been tuning up with for 25 years, I'm going to find something in Scripture that's going to get him. Look at that right there. Oh, we're going to talk tonight. You know, oh my goodness, it's so funny. And I mean, you can blow it up in an extreme. Or it's like, oh, that preacher, like he knows what he's talking about. I'm going to have a board meeting with him. This is not our board. This is totally not our board, guys. This is in church culture. This really is in church culture. And just wait till I set that man of God right. He is off. He don't know nothing. And so they go in Scripture and they find something that they can use. It's a 22. And they shoot each other down. And this is the same thing if you shift from just our relationship with the Lord. Do it with each other. How many times have you and I had conversations with people where there was great problems and it all boils down with someone was obstinately stuck on the fact that they were right, you were wrong, and they are just trying to prove it. And if it wasn't that extreme, it was just simply, they're smarter. They see it better. It's just pride on top of pride with the side of pride. And so that's why the Bible says, be quick not to speak, but be quick to listen. And so when it comes to church and it comes to God and the God's voice and those things, there's a lot of times where he is still talking, but I haven't shut up to hear him. And so like this little illustration with Paige and her friends, you have the authority in your life to shut up the other voices. So shut them up. Even if it's your own voice, shut it up. And then really the humility that is needed is important. And no one likes humility. None.
The hardest words to say sometimes is, I was wrong, or I don't understand, or please help, or those things. That humility is really, really tough. But boy, when you see humility in someone else, I guarantee you there is an attraction to it. Even though from the inside, the person trying to be humbled or laying it down, they may feel like it is shameful and embarrassing, and no one will want to see that. But quite honestly, it is freeing when you just be you and be real. I don't really know. And especially if you're a boss, it's helpful sometimes to go, I know I'm the boss, but I really need your help on this right now because I don't understand. So much nicer. And you almost garner more respect from your people, from your employees and things. And no one tends to just invite wholeheartedly with sincerity the boss who is a jerk to their functions. Or they look forward to those, you know, company functions to the person that is just always right. And, you know, and as a parent, you know, the problem is when you're always right like me, it's just really hard to relate with the rest of the world. And so Chloe is not in here right now, but Chloe is my vocal child. And it's funny how the truth will come out in her sometimes. And I don't want to admit it. Because she, now none of you are allowed to tell her this. If you do, I will know because she will tell me. Someone told me that you said I was right a lot. But see, as a parent, I can't admit that. I've got to let her believe that I'm right and she's wrong. Because I am older and I have grayer hair. See, I'm joking about that, but a lot of times the problem in communication, even as a dad with my loved ones, it boils down to I'm just not listening because I am right and I know it before I even know anything. So it just comes down to humility. I have to be humble. Same thing with me and the Lord. And that's tough, isn't it? It really is tough for some people. Evidently just me. And maybe Chris, right? No, Chris is like, sure, I'll go with that. look at the humility. It's like, yeah, I guess that's true. And so that's the first one. So the first skill in becoming a good listener is noticing pride and then dealing with it. So it's dealing with pride. So the first skill, dealing with pride. And we use that Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. The person who shuts up and listens to advice, who shuts up and listens to the word of God, so on and so forth, that person is called wise. Yep, I don't like this message. The next point, this one is good. Turn with me to Genesis 3:17, and I am going to tell you right now, I am not ashamed to be put in the hot seat or in the doghouse, but I am going to have fun with this point. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. Then to Adam God said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Yes. If I were to highlight just one section, I would say, because you listen to your wife. None of the men were bold enough to say, amen, hurrah, hurrah. Is give me the remote in Genesis 2? Is that in there? Give me the remote. What about make me a meal? Anything in there about that? Or massage my feet? Is that in there? No. Some of you are like, Pastor Ben, that is so politically incorrect. Women unite! Take them down! I knew it! Christianity is full of misogynistic pigs. I bet you he watches Fox. Sorry. So, yes. All I can say, It's not anything to do with listening to your wife or not, but I couldn't avoid the silly fun that that just makes me want to have. I just love it because I go, oh, look, there it is in scripture. I'm not listening. You can't get away with that, guys. I'm sorry. Really, what this is saying is simply who you respond to makes all the difference in the world when it comes to listening. Who you respond to, because this is the next thing. Listening involves a response. So who you give a response to is part of how you know you're listening or not. So please say amen right now. Oh, yeah, see, some of you responded, and then 70% of you aren't listening. That's awesome, because there was no response. You know, maybe the last one. But this is the thing that happens in my relationship with the Lord. There are times where the still small voice will speak, and I will not acknowledge. I've told you silly stories where God shouts, as it were, Ben, do this, and I go, huh? I don't even listen. And then he keeps shouting, and then finally I do it, and then he's like, you're such an idiot, but I love you. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I think so. That's great. Mercy upon mercy that he leads me, and I'm so, you know, clogged up, I don't even respond. Hey, but, you know, on a side note, I have a medical excuse. I have an overactive wax issue. I really do. Again, I had to go back to the doctor. You may remember this. Like last year, I went to the doctor, and in the doctor, this is the first time I had this. I didn't know, but genetically, there are people that produce a lot more wax. And evidently, God built me to listen to people even though I don't. But so that means the inside of my ears are larger than normal. And so the first time that the doctor kind of came in there and did some stuff, he pulled out a big enough wax ball that I screamed. I laughed. And then I said, can I name it? It was so big. Well, again, I went back to the doctor this time because my ears were getting all clogged. And this lady with the fun English accent, oh, we're going to pick at your ears now. And they did all this stuff. And she's like, oh, this is going to be easy. And then she gets a little thing and she's like, oh, oh. And then she shows me and I'm like, yeah, that's my ear. That's amazing. It's the size of almost the size of a prune. I didn't, yeah, yeah. Now you know why I almost named the last one. So it's usually just one side or the other like that. And then she laughed and I said, is it bad? And she goes, well, I've seen worse. And I was like, really? You've seen worse? That's amazing. I can hear. So, you know, maybe I'm not responding to the people in my life because I have a medical excuse. That's not right. Now you know what it's like in real relationships. There are times where Petraea's only real desire is that instead of me just hearing the words filtering through the air, that I stop, look at her, and show a response. So, Debbie Pagel just went, mm-hmm. I called her out on that. My sister just went, mm-hmm. So it might not just be limited to this guy, but I think maybe even in a recent argument, it's really one-sided. She's raising her voice. I'm just not there. And she's trying to get through to me, but the first time didn't work. The second time, then finally she just says, will you at least respond? And I'm like, I am. I'm in the room. And then I'm going, that doesn't hold any water. I need to look, respond, by using my words and acknowledge. That's the same thing with God. How long does it take for God to whisper things to you before you literally stop and look him in the eyes, so to speak? Or spend some time just alone with him and say, all right, you've got my attention, God. I'm responding to you. But that's just the beginner. There is so much more. In Genesis 3:17, the problem was he didn't act on the voice of God, respond to the voice of God, even though he heard it. He responded to someone else's voice. And in this John chapter 10, when Jesus is talking to all the people in the crowd, he says, the problem with what's going on here, the breakdown in communication, it's a loose reference to another movie, we have a problem anyway, I'm so squirrel.
The problem is this. They are just not listening to God's voice. They're listening and responding to someone else's. And this happens because of all kinds of reasons. There's a wonderful book by a group of people, and it's it addresses the downward spiral of communication, and it talks about the first step to this not responding is usually marked by just strained communication. See, at some point, there will be a strain in your communication between you and the Lord. He will not agree with you, and that will cause tension. And when you don't agree with God in just a subtle way, it's strained, the temptation, if that goes on long and you don't yield and go back to point number one I made, pride, and humble yourself and listen, then that strain turns to a small break, a tear in the muscle of communication. And in a family unit, if the way you communicate to one another is strained, if it's not addressed, fixed, set right, it's like a sprained ankle or a strained muscle in any way, sooner or later, that communication rips. And it no longer is just strained communication, it's a breakdown in communication. And when there's a breakdown of communication, the flow of talking and communicating and responding to influences and messages doesn't stop. It just shifts. So where it's been strained and broken, now you are no longer an influencer. Someone else has become that. So if God is not who you're listening to and that strain breaks, it's not that he is influencing now. It's now someone else is influencing you. And a lot of times in church, I go, where did you hear that? Well, who said that? Where did that idea come from? What happened here? Well, I can tell you how it happened. At some point, God disappointed you because he didn't say what you wanted him to say, and that was a strain. And because you didn't change, God never changes, by the way. Some of us need to write that on. You cannot change him. If you can't change your husband, why could you ever imagine changing God? And if you can't change your wife, why could you ever imagine? So then the whole point is you can't change them. You can only conform and listen. But when it's strained, it breaks down, and then someone else is going to influence you. And in kids' lives, if parents and kids, they have strained communication, if your only way of talking and the flow of ideas and influence is always on this razor's edge of or there's that sense of right before something, I don't know if dad's going to be upset at me, and it's all okay until it's not. At some point, they no longer can take it, and they are no longer listening to you. They're listening to someone else. So that's tough, isn't it? I remember one time a married couple who had been fighting for a long time. They'd been fighting for long. And you know, honestly, these two people, they should have never got married. I don't know what they were thinking. And yet they did. And the fact that my parents got married, they're oil and water. They just do not mix. And the reason I say oil and water is because the only way you mix it, and then it's really only good for salads, right? It's like, you know, or marinating something. And I tell you, the life of my family, it's tough because you got leaders everywhere. I'm a leader. Mom's a leader. Dad's a leader. My number two kid was never a number two kid, was a leader too. The only one that was a follower is the number three kid. And we all tried to lead her, which is basically a way of saying she was drawn and quartered. Leadership in our home was chaotic. It was who could just convince everyone else. At some point, that's like World War III. Now, I remember my mom and dad one time because, you know, they were trying to convince each other. I was trying to get my way in there, too, because I was the smart counselor of everyone in the household. So I wanted to set everybody straight. My dad came in, and he just said, and I was like, right, he's bigger than me still. And then I said, what are you doing? He goes, I'm taking your mom out on a date. And I kind of smiled and went, how's that going to work? This is going to be great. And he goes, we are done arguing, and we are going to get along. So popped in a VCR tape and watched a movie. Mom and dad went out on a date. They came back, and everything was wonderful. And I was like, hey, it's nice. And then my mom and dad started talking. They said, yeah, you know, you can fight and fight and fight and fight. There's always a reason to fight. Sometimes you just have to have the guts to say, I am no longer going to fight. I'm just going to love and listen and talk and stop this strained communication. Now, I'm going to say all of that because sometimes that's the resolve you need in your home. You don't need to beat it out until you are finally proven right and everyone else is dead. What's the victory in that? Just surrender quick. Surrender quick and be wrong if that's what it means. Be misunderstood if that's what it means. But prize that freedom in your household. I told you I was going to be done in 20 minutes. Now you know I lied. Because I have three more little points. I will try and rifle right through these really quick. So the first thing to cultivate is we've got to deal with the pride. The second one is we have to respond, and that's important. Three and four, I'm going to put these two together, and I'm going to I'll give you the points, and then I'm going to have to close it up with the scripture. So the next thing in communicating, I'm going to call it empathy. Empathy. What I really mean when I say empathy is the emotional component to empathy. When you feel what someone else feels. Scripturally, this is when in prayer, in the Old Testament, the psalmist says, and you heard me, God. What he often is saying is, God, I finally know you took compassion on me. You feel what I've been feeling. And you did whatever was needed. And as it's progressed throughout the Old Testament to New Testament times, that concept still remains. It contains a lot of holy water there, and it's refreshing our soul. See, the reality of listening is when someone is listening, they connect emotionally with the message. They can empathize with it. There's a stirring of compassion. When you really listen, you feel. So you can reference maybe some of those times in Jesus' life where as he's listening to what's being said or what's going on, he responds with the heart to a prayer, and they only feel what he is feeling, and they feel communication is happening. And in our lives with God, there's a lot of times where we're asking him whatever, and the only way we know that he's listening is if suddenly something proves to us he feels what we're feeling. Or if you put it in a human context, if a pastor suddenly connects with what you're feeling, or another friend connects with what you're feeling, and there's true empathy with that. This is a skill that we've got to develop more and more in our life. But people are afraid to feel. They don't know what to feel. So in like times of funerals and things, some people are scared to death of funerals because they're embarrassed. They don't know what to allow themselves to feel when they're around someone who's lost someone so dear to them. I mean, I didn't lose, but I know they did, and I just don't know what to feel. So it's a threat. Communicating becomes threatening because it involves a heart, and that is dangerous. You know, if the heart gets involved, I don't know where that's going to lead. What if I cry in public? Don't look like a man. Well, then cry. Don't be so bound up that you can't communicate and empathize with someone. It's amazing when you see strong individuals moved with compassion and they cry. Jesus often heard what someone said and would cry. He listened to Mary and Martha when they said, our brother is dead. And he listened to all the things that they said because you showed up late. I called for you and you showed up late. He cried. Jesus started weeping, not because he didn't know he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but because he was listening. And he connected with their hearts. So the lesson for us is, let's learn to empathize more. Hear the feeling conversation. So now how you know you're doing this with God is if you are a stickler on the letter and you care less about the emotion when it comes to Scripture, you're missing communication. Well, This is the word that is used in this verse, and that means basically I'm right. Now, I skipped a lot of points there, but that's usually where we're struggling. We're not listening to the heart. We're just listening to the letter. And the problem with that is that's going to kill at some point. It's great if you're right and you're right and there's no life on the line, but the minute it matters what the feeling and the Spirit of God is saying, then you're missing it. So when you go to Scripture, when you go to prayer, think about what it is that God's heart is breaking on. What is He sad about? Why did He say something in Scripture in the way that He said it? Don't get hung up on some of the things that we get hung up on. Listen to the words between the words. What's the heart? What's the feeling? Now, that's important if you're going to communicate with God, right? But it's important if you're going to communicate with one another, right? Some of you are like, yes, this is deep, Yoda. This is very deep. It's about a thing called heart. I don't know if I have one of those. I will investigate this. Which brings me to my next point, which is not just the heart and the empathy, that where Jesus showed compassion as He heard. It is then understanding, and understanding is a perceiving of it. It's actually being able to see all the sides of it so that, like a judge, you could hear all sides of it clearly. This is so important when it comes to communicating, because if you can't see from the other person's perspective, then you've missed the goal of communication. If you are listening correctly, you will be able to not just empathize, but then you'll be able to understand a counter perspective. It is not the same as an agreement. Now, this is important. Write this down. If you are struggling at times with communication, you must write this down. Understanding someone's perspective is not the same as agreement. This is freedom. Especially if you struggle with that, I don't want to understand. I don't want them to get the idea that I think homosexuality is right. If you understand them, then you will be able to see it through their eyes. It is not saying you agree with their perspective, but if you can't see it through their eyes, you are not communicating and you're not listening. And so when it comes to kids, wife, God, all these things, you have to get into God's perspective. And the challenge between me and the Lord is, the Scripture has told us, you can search this out, says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. They're so far high above you, you don't get it. That means His perspective is so far removed from mine. When I go to Scripture, sometimes I go, oh, I know what you're thinking. The answer is almost always, no, you don't. That's cute that you thought you did. That's funny. You're cute, you know? And the great thing is we'll go to the pet scriptures. Well, I know I understand that one. We'll give it 10 years, and then you'll go, I thought I understood that 10 years ago. Now I'm understanding it differently. So now I got it. And then he goes, that's still the same thing. That's so cute. You're still doing it. I love you, dumb Ben. I just love you. You know? Because we don't see it from His perspective. And so that's important. And when it comes to communication with each other, we have to make it our goal to try and gain understanding. See it through their eyes. And the last thing that I'll leave you with this is, if we're going to listen and gain that understanding, the natural progression leads to what Jesus did. Taught. Throughout Scripture, in both Old Testament and New Testament, the concept for listening involves all of these. And when it gets to this last one, it would use a word to examine and critique, to dissect and take apart. Some of you are great teachers by DNA. You love taking things apart. But if you skip all these others, if pride is still in there, if you are listening to other voices instead of God's, or if, like these last ones, you do not get the emotional component, or if you don't get to the goal of understanding and seeing from someone else's perspective, when you jump right to taking it apart, you're taking it apart and putting it back together and teaching things you should just keep your mouth shut. Because you're teaching things that should not be taught. And Jesus in John 10 was talking to teachers who were teaching his words, but they weren't communicating the message that he was communicating because they never heard it in the first place. Ah! My brain just went, that's right. I just went full circle right there. That is called deep thinking. I started out and I worked my way all the way around and we're back in John 10. And I'm like, look at that. The teachers should have been able to teach it, but they didn't cultivate listening. And so that's probably a lot of the problems in churches today. You have preachers teaching and they don't listen. You have believers who are teaching other believers and they do not listen to God themselves. And that's why we have these other phrases like the blind leading the blind. I really do think this is why the admonition is given. Teachers are going to be held accountable on a higher standard. They just are. And it puts the fear of God in me. Man, there are times where I'm like, I want a different job. One that is not like about eternal things and life and death and the soul. I would just like to make sandwiches. Something that's like, here, eat this pastrami. You won't die and go to hell. You know? You'll feel like you went to heaven, though. And so if you're listening, you get to the place where then you can break it down to simple-minded things and to people who've never heard it before. And it's not coming from a place of head knowledge. It's really coming from, I've been there. I've experienced it. I'm doing that. I'm living this. And I want to walk with you in this. And it's so different. And that's the way Jesus taught. He walked with unlearned men and taught them the words of God. And they said, we can't leave you because you have words of life that we've got to listen to. They were walking with the teacher. And I pray that as we cultivate good listening, people will want to walk beside you because they hear the words of God in your mouth. You're listening and then you can teach. Let's stand and let's pray and get out of here. Yes. Oh, communion. Wow. Okay, quickly go grab your communion components really quick. Dismiss from your chairs right there, and we're going to go grab these communion. And then when we come back to our chairs, we're going to pray together and take communion together. The same, the gospel.